I was going down the road, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, this is what I want you to preach tonight. And I know it's Wednesday night. I know it's 15 minutes till 8. But I tell you, I'm just going to pin my ears back and preach a little bit because this is what God put on my heart tonight. And I feel like it'll help them, but it'll help all of us. Amen. And, you know, I don't know that McDonald's or Jack's is worth a whole lot, but their napkins are worth writing sermons on. Amen. So that's all I got. Amen. I got three napkins of sermons here, and so that's what you're going to get. But if God will help me, I want to preach what he put in my soul this afternoon, and may it be a help and blessing to all of us. If you'll stand with us, John chapter number 1, I want to read three verses of scripture and then have prayer and you can be seated. John chapter number 1, and look with me in verse number 6. The Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'll help us in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to be obedient to you tonight. God, only you know what you want to do in this ordination service. And I pray that, Lord, as we ordain and commission these two men of God, I pray that you'll bless them and bless their ministry. But I pray tonight that you'll speak to all of our hearts and help us, Lord. I pray you'll take the word of God and speak to us and speak through us for thy honor and thy glory. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach tonight on this subject, on the preacher and his ministry. The preacher and his ministry. And I mean, tonight, when you think about men of God, the Bible talks about here there was a man sent from God. Not everybody that says they're a preacher is a real preacher. Amen. Not everybody that says that they're a man of God is a real man of God. And I'll tell you, I think time and truth and trials reveals whether or not men are really men of God or not. Amen. We're living in a time when it seems like that the calling of God has been by many men, and maybe some that are even called, but it seems like the call of God in our day and time has been cheapened by those that want to try to fit into this world, and they want to try to fit into even this liberal modern church world. But God still has his men that are standing in the gap and that are making up the hedge. Amen. And when I read John chapter number 1, I know that this chapter is all about Jesus. But in the beginning of these verses here, it talks about John the Baptist. And when you think about John the Baptist tonight, you know that John the Baptist was a real man of God. He was a real man of God because the Bible said he was a real man of God. And he was a real man of God because his ministry proved that he was a true man of God. And so I'm going to preach on that a few minutes tonight, on the preacher and his ministry. The preacher and his ministry. And I want you to notice three things in these three verses tonight that the Lord laid upon my heart. I want you to see, first of all, the man here. The Bible says in verse number 6, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So let's think about this man for just a few moments tonight. I would say, first of all, that this is a single man. The Bible says there was a man sent from God. And what that tells us tonight is that the call of God on his preacher is an individual calling. Amen. Now, there's some people that don't believe in the call of God. They think you just sign up or you just volunteer for it. And I'm going to tell you something. God has to put his hand on a man in order for him to be a preacher, in order for him to be God's man. And so you can be a Christian, you can be a Sunday school teacher, you can be a lay person, you can be a lot of things in the church, but if you're going to be a man of God, God has to call you. Amen. And I'll tell you tonight, that's the most important thing about preaching, is the call of God, whether or not it's in our life. If it's not in your life, then you need to do something else for God. But if it's in your life, you'll never be able to get away from it. It'll stay with you, just like these two men testified, every day of your life. And so when we think about the man in this text, John stood head and shoulders above other men because he was really called of God. He's a single man, meaning that this calling is an individual. I've seen preachers now announce their calling, maybe because their best friend announced it, or maybe because a brother, or some, maybe their dad and their granddad. And I understand God calls families like your brothers, but there's some that just felt the pressure, or they felt the obligation, or maybe they like the title, amen? And I'm going to tell you something, preaching's not about a title, amen? It's about a calling, amen? And preaching's not even about a burden. Some people say, well, I just got the burden to preach. But I'm going to tell you something, burdens come and burdens go, but the call of God will stay when the burden's not there, amen? You got to have more than a burden. You got to be God's man. That means that you've got to be called. And so this man was a single man, and then he was a sent man. Notice this, the Bible said there was a man sent. Now what that means is that God did not call John just to sit around and do nothing, amen? It means God had something for John to do. He called him because he had a purpose. He had a reason. I don't believe that men get called just to wear a title and just say they're a title. Now God uses lay preachers in the church, and I thank God we got to have some lay preachers in the church, and that is just as important as anything else. But what I'm saying tonight, there's some men that all they do is just wear the title. Now, I'm telling you, when God puts his hand on you and when God calls you to preach, he's got a direction, he's got a ministry, he's got a motive in mind. He's going to send you to do something. Now, he may send you down to the mission. He may send you down to the street corners. He may send you to the nursing home. He may send you to a church. He may send you to different churches or the mission field. You don't know where God's going to send you. Now, I'm telling you, when God calls you, he has a place, he has a people, and he has a purpose in mind. Amen. And I believe that tonight John was headed somewhere, and God had a direction, and we noticed the man that he was sent, and we noticed that he was spiritual. The Bible said there was a man sent from God. Now, God doesn't call men that are not spiritual. Can I get an amen right there? There's some men, they want to see how worldly and how carnal they can be. I'm going to tell you something, God don't call men like that. He calls men that are serious about the ministry, serious about being a student of the Word of God. You don't have to be a theologian, but a real man of God will memorize this book. He'll study this book. He'll share this book with others, and he'll live the principles of this book. That's what a man of God does. He's spiritually minded. He's willing to think on things above. And I'm going to tell you, I see a lot of men today that say they're called, and they spend more time trying to be cool and fit in than what they do trying to be a real man of God. I'm telling you, real men of God, they walk with God. They spend time in prayer. They spend time in the scriptures, and they have a genuine burden. Y'all with me tonight? I'm just saying that's the call of God. John didn't come to play, amen? I'm telling you, John came to preach, and it didn't matter who showed up. His pulpit was on the banks of the Jordan River. His pulpit sometimes was in Herod's palace, but John was serious every day about the things of God, amen? Now, if you're going to be a man of God, you're going to have to spend more time in the study than you do on the golf course. Somebody say amen. If you're going to be a man of God, you're going to spend more time in prayer than you are in the woods hunting and fishing. And there's nothing wrong with all them things. But I'm telling you, a real man of God, what gets him out of the bed in the morning and what puts him to bed at night is the ministry. Amen. There's a calling on his life that never lets up. Amen. And John had it, didn't he? And some guys can take it or leave it because maybe they never had it. But John was spiritual. It burdens me. I'm preaching this sermon to these two men here. But I see the Holy Ghost put it on my heart this morning and said, you know, this is an opportunity for you to preach to them and to remind the church and yourself as a pastor what this is really all about tonight. God's men must be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you every day I get up that I'm the Christian I'm supposed to be. And I'm not telling you every day that I get up that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be and I strive to be. Do I battle this flesh? I sure do. Does my flesh get the best of me sometimes? Yes, it does. I'm ashamed to say that, but it's the truth. Amen. But I want to tell you, I want to walk with God, don't you? I'm telling you, I want to get up and be a Christian. I'm not very good at it, but that's the goal. That was the goal this morning. That's going to be the goal tomorrow morning. It'll be the goal the next morning. Amen. And I need God's help, and you need God's help. And I'm telling you, it is always on our mind as preachers, the responsibility and the load and the burden. Amen. If you're going to be God's man, in. You can't give out if you're not constantly putting something in. Amen. You gotta spend time alone with God. You gotta spend time in prayer. You gotta memorize the Word of God, not to quote it necessarily while you're preaching, but that you might not sin against God. Amen. The devil will put a bullseye on your back, and you must keep the Word of God in your heart to keep your mind clean and your thought process clean. In order to be spiritually minded, you must stay full all the time. Amen. And John, he was sent from God. When a preacher is full of God, he don't have to. In fact, he won't announce it because he won't really know it. But those around him will know that he's God's man. Think about that. God's men are humble men, but we know they're God's men, don't we? A man that prays don't have to tell people he prays. You know he prays. A man that studies his Bible, he don't have to tell people how much he knows or how much he studies, you know, because you know why? It'll be evident. And what I'm saying to you preachers and what I'm saying to the church tonight is that we live in a day when preachers have so cheapened the call of God. But I'm glad that even amongst all of that, we don't have to paint a dark picture tonight because God is still raising men up, amen? And there's preachers here tonight that God has raised up. And thank God that, listen, everybody has and sold out. Amen. Everybody's not went contemporary. Everybody's not went casual in their calling. Amen. There's still some men that walk with God. There's still some men, my friend, that take the call of God seriously. Amen. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, yeah, and we're in this day when preachers don't want to wear a tie when they get up to preach. Some I'm talking about. Isn't that a shame? When the president wears a tie and the office of a preacher is greater than the office of a president. I'm telling you, say, why do you wear a tie? I've heard preachers say, well, it's just a custom thing. Well, I'm going to tell you something. To me, it's a matter of respect. Amen. It is our custom. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, if I was in Africa, I probably wouldn't be in a shirt and tie. Amen. Because that's not what they wear. But I'm not in Africa. I'm in America. Amen. And in America, you know what we do? We suit up when we get in a pulpit and we respect and we honor the office. Amen. We don't want to cheapen that down. Amen. I'm telling you, the calling of God is a serious calling. And to be spiritually minded, I think we ought to look like a preacher. Amen. When we get in the pulpit, we ought to look like a man of God. Amen. I worry about some of these preachers, how they dress and the things they wear. And sometimes I see them and I think, man, you know, he's got a good delivery, but I ain't letting him into, I'm not letting him preach at Bible looking like that. Somebody say amen. All these weirdo haircuts, can I get an amen right there? I'm talking about shaved up one side. I mean, it just looks queer to me. And I'm like, I'm not going to let somebody get in a pulpit and preach to the congregation that I'm not sure if they know what they are or not. Amen. I'm just talking about tonight. When you get in the pulpit, you look like a preacher. And y'all look like preachers tonight. I'm telling you, 25 years from now, if you're still preaching, look like a man of God. I don't care what they say about it. I don't care. They can put it on anything they want to. I'm telling you, God's men are spiritual. And they take the calling of God seriously tonight. Amen. And then I noticed that the man was not only a spiritual man, but he was a simple man. The Bible said whose name was John. You know, John was just a normal man. He wasn't a superman. He was a normal man. Brother Jack, he just walked with God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, the Bible says. John was a man. And as preachers, we have to remember that. We're just men. We can't do anything without God's help. You know, that's one reason why I'm preaching from a napkin tonight and not some sermon that I've preached a lot. I mean, there's sermons that, would they be truth? Yes. But I'm just a man tonight. And to be honest with you, when I got up here tonight, I was scared as if it was the first time I'd ever preached before a congregation. Because I know deep down that if God, if he don't breathe on it, it's not going to be worth anything. After all these years, I need him as much tonight before you as I've ever needed him in all of my life. Amen. We're just flesh tonight. We're nothing tonight. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. It doesn't matter how big the church is. It doesn't matter how successful the ministry may look. I'm telling you, if God don't touch his man, then it's just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And I tell you, there's nothing better than when God takes mortal flesh, when God takes a lump of clay and puts his hand on it and uses it for his honor and his glory. Amen. And a man of God will not think highly of himself when that happens. I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll get alone by himself and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for helping me one more time to preach the word of God. There's the man. Then there's the ministry. Look at verse number 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. When you look at verse 7, I see the beginning of John's ministry. The Bible said the same came for a witness. John's ministry began as a witness. That's who he was, that's what he was, and that's what he would always be. And as God's men, that's what you are. You're God's witness. You're God's witness to preach the gospel of salvation. You're God's witness to preach on sin, to cry aloud and spare it not. You have an obligation to preach on sin and to name sin. You have an obligation to edify the body of Christ, to encourage them and strengthen them. You have an obligation tonight to stand for the truth, and that you're to be a witness. And you're to be a witness in your preaching, but you're to be a witness in your life. The same came for a witness. I'm going to tell you something. You can see John on the banks of the Jordan, but you can also bump into him in a Herod's palace, and guess what? The message didn't change, did it? He preached the same. He preached to the Pharisees just like he did the publicans. Amen. You know, that was the beginning of his ministry. And what I like about John is when Herod cut his head off, you know what? He was still preaching the same way when he died as he was when he started. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's how our ministry ought to end, the same way it began. John began as a witness, and he didn't dip his colors. He didn't compromise. He didn't back up. Thank God. He is still preaching on sin, even when it cost him his own head. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes there comes a price tag with being a man of God and crying out and calling sin what it is. But you got an obligation to do what God has called you to do. Amen. And the ministry is not gumdrops and lollipops every Sunday. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Here's what he said. Reprove. Rebuke. And then he said, exhort. He said, you do it with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it has come, when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But he said, watch thou in all things. Make full proof of thy work. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. That's our obligation tonight, the beginning of his ministry. And then there's the burden of his ministry. Look what he said. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. You know, John preached with a burden. He didn't just preach to be preaching, but he had a burden. Always have a burden when you preach. Don't preach without a burden. That's why sometimes when the burden's not there, there's no need for me to preach. Sometimes we preach out of duty and God will bless it and give it to us. But when you lose that burden, you need to get along with God. There's times I've lost my burden. Sometimes it's come through tiredness and weariness. Sometimes it's come through the troubles of life, personal troubles. Maybe nothing to do with the church, but sometimes the burdens of life can weigh heavier than the burden of that's in your heart to preach. And when those times come, you have to get alone with God. You can't tell people about it. You can't tell church members about it. They have their own burdens, and they can't have a preacher that's always running around dumping his burdens on them. So you have to learn to lean on the shoulder that never fails. You have to learn to let the burden that God burns in your soul be greater than any burden you'll ever bear in life. Amen. And somehow he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I know that to be true, because I'm going to tell you, if you can always preach with a burden, here's what will happen. That burden that God puts in you to preach, that message, is somehow it soothes your own soul when you've got heavy burdens of your own tonight. But John preached with a burden, and that burden was light, the light of the gospel, the light of the word of God. It'll help you. It'll be what sustains you in life. I think that probably one of the reasons that some men resort to all other things in their preaching is because they don't have a burden. You can preach hard on sin when you got a burden, and people will take it because they know you care. You can stand firm when people see your burden. They know that you're not just preaching to be preaching. John, his burden was the light of the Word of God. I'll tell you, I think that's a real man of God's burden, is that he wants to help people see the truth. God puts the truth in your heart. It's not to get up and shine. It's not to get up and be seen. It's not even to be heard, but it's to bear what God has put in you. And if people can get a hold of that burden, it will help them. And when you preach, you have to get the burden off of you. Just like tonight, God put this burden on me coming down the road. And the only thing I'm concerned about right now is getting this burden off of me. I'm preaching to the two of you, but I, at the same time, I know God can be doing something beyond this front row tonight. I pray he's doing something in your heart, and I know that he probably is, but you never know what God's doing while you're preaching. You never know who might be under conviction about salvation tonight. So it's an amazing thing. If you just obey God and deliver the burden, you might be preaching on tithing, but God may be dealing with somebody else about getting saved. Amen. Our responsibility is not to do any other work, but just deliver the message that God gives you. And the Bible says that he was to bear witness of the light. We know that's Jesus Christ. And then there's the benefit of his ministry, that all men through him might believe. That is the benefit of a man of God's ministry, is that people are pointed to Christ, that people see Jesus. In every message, no matter what the subject may be, people need to always see Jesus before you come to the end of the sermon. It's more than motivational speaking. It's more than instructive principles for life. People must see Christ high and holy and lifted up. And if they see us and if they see our flesh, then they have failed to see the Lord. And that was John's ministry. And then finally, there's the mindset. Notice verse number 8. John, the Bible says that he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. I want to tell you tonight, John had an understanding of the ministry. And the understanding of the ministry is twofold tonight. He understood his position, and that is that he was not that light. In other words, John, if you think about it, his ministry started different than any other preacher's ministry. And what I mean by that is when John started out, he started out real big. Most preachers start out real small. Nobody knows them. They've preached no sermons. Nobody wants to hear them. They don't even want to hear themselves. And you start out real small. And, you know, God gives preachers ambitions and goals, and they want to grow. But the worst thing that can happen to a young preacher is for them to get the mindset that they want to be big. Because what's big to us is not big to God. John starts out real big. I mean, think about it. He's preaching on the banks of the Jordan River. He baptizes Jesus. God the Father rolls the heavens back and speaks out of the heavens, "This is my beloved Son." And the Spirit of God descends, and John was right in the middle of all that, preaching and baptizing. That's a big ministry. Baptizing Jesus is pretty big. But John didn't want to be big. He wanted to be small. His goal was not to get big, but to get little. If we're not careful, we can start out little and wonder, could we ever be big? When John said, I don't want to be big, I must. He must increase and I must decrease. He was not that light. If we shine, Jesus will never shine. We cannot shine. I see a lot of preachers today shining. You have to be careful about preachers that want to make the ministry all about them, their name, their face, their ministry. He was not that light tonight. People don't need to see me, they don't need to see you, but they sure do need to see Jesus. And we get through preaching, if people can go to the house, and if they don't even remember what we said, but if they remember what he said. If they walk away never saying anything about the preacher, but they walk away saying, man, wasn't God good? Man, the Lord helped me. God met my need. That's what it's about, amen? Thank God for encouragement. We all can use encouragement, I understand that. But never preach for an encouraging word. Never preach for a pat on the back. I'm not saying they're wrong to get them. But I'm saying never measure your sermon by an altar call or the response of a congregation or the loudness of a shout. Measure your sermon by whether or not you obeyed God and preached what God had laid upon your heart. The mindset is that people don't need to see me. He had an understanding of his position. He also had an understanding of his purpose. The Bible just says it repeatedly, to bear witness of that light. John knew why he was there. It was for people to see Jesus. And I want to say just a few things to you two young men. Because both of you, Brother Andrew, you're here to assist me in the church, and Brother Sam, you're going to assist your dad and then eventually to become the pastor of that church. And if I had some things to say to both of you tonight, it would be this. Just personally, always keep yourself in line. Keep your own spirit, your own heart, your own life in check. And then as a pastor, as an assistant, keep things in check. Whatever's been put into your hands, make sure it's ran the way that they've been given to you to be run. And when you become a pastor, you keep people in check. It's not popular, but it has to be done. Because I have to be kept in check. You have to be kept in check. But leadership is to keep things running the way God wants them to be run. Nobody will know that but God's man. What I mean is things are to be run biblically. We all know that. But when it comes to running things in the church, you run them the way the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. Never go against the Word of God. Never make a decision for your own benefit. But always do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. I remember a time when somebody said, if you preach that preacher, we won't be back at church. And the first Jubilee in this building, that preacher walked in. And when he walked in, the Holy Ghost said, I want him to preach tonight. And I said, if I preach him, Lord, they said they won't never be back. But it's always better to obey God. I preached that preacher that night. They didn't leave. They got mad. But they didn't leave. And another family joined our church is still here tonight. And I've wondered so many times if I would have just listened to man instead of God, would that family even be sitting here tonight? I'm telling you, you have to keep yourself in check. You have to keep things in check. Never lower the standard in the church. Keep the administrative things going right. Keep your wife close. You got a good wife. And she's dedicated. And she loves you. But you keep your wife close. We're living in a time when people, pastors, I hear pastors all the time say this. The biggest problem going on in our church these days is keeping people staying in their lane. Even this week, a pastor called me and said, I don't know what to do about this. I said, join the crowd. I knew it wasn't going to get a big laugh when I said that. I said, preacher, that's everywhere. He said, you may not, it's not, I said, it's not just there, it's everywhere. I said, but you, I said, you're the pastor. I said, you just got to say, this is how it's going to be done. I said, it's how it needs, you got to lead the church. You have to decide, are you going to be the most popular person in the building, or are you going to do what God tells you to do? And in the end, I think people that are spiritual, they'll love you because they know you have their best interest in mind. But you can't fold. You can't. I'm just giving y'all some advice tonight. You can't be everybody's buddy. You know, I go to the back door tonight, and I won't tell you, now this, I'm saying this to all of y'all too, okay? But I'm really saying this to y'all. I go to the back door tonight. If somebody walked up to me and said, preacher, could you go out and eat with us tonight? Well, I'm always for a free meal, okay? The answer would be yes, unless there was some reason I couldn't go. But I wish somebody would have told me this years ago, but I had to learn it the harder way. You can't be everybody's friend. You be their pastor. If I stand at the back door and somebody said, preacher, you can go out to eat tonight? Sure, let's go eat. Let's go get a hamburger, you know. Maybe not cookout, but let's go somewhere else. Or crystals. But, sure. But at the same time, you just go home. You go with your family. You can't have favorites. Am I telling the truth tonight? You keep your wife close. You got to deal with the tough things, the tragic things, and the trivial things. I'm going to tell you, most things you have to deal with, they're very trivial things. But you got to deal with them. You got to train people. You're going to be an assistant for a while. You're an assistant. You have to train people that when people want to do things, the answer should always be this. Well, we got to talk to the preacher about it. Well, we got to talk to if it's the ladies, it's like, well, we're going to talk to the preacher's wife. Can I get an amen right there? Because we're living in a crazy day when people grab 5 or 6 or 10 people and just go off and do stuff. They don't understand that if they can do it, 10 other people can do it. And what they don't see is the big picture. The big picture is this. The church splits. Holy splinters. So it just, I'm telling you, if I could give up anything else tonight, I'm glad. I'm just giving anything away I can give away. So is she. We don't want to do anything more than we have to do. Our plate's running over. But at the same time, the burden of the ministry is this. We stand at the judgment seat. You have to give an account for everything that goes on in the church you're at. So everything has to run through you. You got to build that mindset. And doing that, sometimes you know, it's just the way it is. But I tell you, at the end of the day, God protects your church for doing those things. Why am I telling you two of these things? I'm telling you these two things because you're both going to be assistants for some time. And you have to, that's the best assistant a pastor ever has. It's the best assistant a preacher's wife ever has is one that says, well, we better talk to the pastor. We better talk to the preacher. It just makes everything safer. You know, Brother Laddie did not have to do this tonight. He's older than me. He's walked with God longer than me. And he knows me very, very well. And he knows that I would be okay. He knows I would be okay with this. Do you know what Brother Laddie did tonight? I'm talking about the respect. And I would give the same respect to this man of God. He leaned up to me because it was an ordination service tonight. He leaned up and he said, is it okay if I give a word of testimony? Now that's always an order, especially for him. I don't care if he testified in the middle of my sermon. But I'm saying that's missing. Is that missing in a lot of our places? Miss Sheila called. She called this week about something. I don't even know what y'all talked about, but they were talking. She was saying, Miss Gravely, what, this, and this, just running stuff by. She's been living for God longer than we have. But that's respect, isn't it? Now, it's real quiet in here right now. So you're going to have to preach like this too. But it's right tonight. It's how we keep what we have. And to you, it is, I'm telling you to y'all, it's not what a preacher wants to have to carry, but you have to carry it. Because if you don't, I'll tell you, some churches are circuses. Because the worst thing a pastor can ever do is just say, well, what do y'all want to do? What do y'all want to do? That's not leadership. The worst thing an assistant can ever do is say, well, I would, but the pastor said. Oh, no, no, no. You be loyal. You follow what's been handed down. You know why? Because God blesses everybody when it's like that. He blesses the preacher. He blesses those who work under. He blesses the whole church. And the only people that ever will see that differently is people that don't want to do that. And you stay with it. I'm telling you that because you're still going to be here working. You're going to help your dad. I know you're loyal to your dad, but I'm just telling you, you gotta scotch that man of God up. You'll be pastor in that church. You'll reap what you sow. So think about that. Amen. Is that true tonight? Then I want to say in the final thought here, and then we're going to close this ordination service here in just a few moments. You just always remember in a church, you're the assistant, but when your wife becomes the pastor's wife, you always remember there's one first lady in the church. There's always one. And while you're the assistant, I would say to you, sister, don't ever, and I don't think you would, but it bears saying tonight, no matter how many ladies ever look to you as a helper, never try to be the first lady if you're not the first lady. Amen. When they come to you, send them to that preacher's wife. Send them to her. And God will bless you for that. Amen. Is that right tonight?